Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz along with John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and Bonte Hill taking the day off. Happy to be with John Dickinson, as always. And I just want to, I want to take a minute right now. We've been doing this over the course of the week to thank some of the advertisers who've stuck with us through this really, really tough time. They deserve a shout out for trying to get up and running, and we appreciate that that they have stuck with us. And here they are: Comcast, Fremont Bank, Chilton Auto Body, Golden State Lumber, O'Donnell Financial Group, Shreve & Company, Geico, Safeway, and Video Only. And what am I doing right now? I'm saying thank you to the advertisers who have stuck with us during this tough time. All right, Deebo Samuel has broken his foot. He did that Tuesday in Tennessee during a throwing session. Ian Rapoport broke the story, said this will be a 12 to 16 week recovery process. Deebo Samuel's already said 10 weeks and I'm back. We had Brian Baldinger on at 12:30. And this is a great time to remind you to download the radio.com app. All you got to do is search 95.7 The Game, add it to your favorites, and you don't have to miss a second, whether you're at home or you're in your car or you're at work. Brian Baldinger suffered two of these injuries that Deebo Samuel has just endured. We had him on at 12:30. If you missed that interview, just use the rewind feature to catch any moments, including that one that you missed in the last 24 hours. We had Brian Baldinger, again, the radio.com NFL insider with us, and he had some terrific, terrific insight on the Deebo Samuel injury. You can also just tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. And I want to go right to something, JD, that Baldy said, and that is how Deebo Samuel perhaps missing some games at the beginning of the season, how would that impact the 49ers offense?
No, it isn't. And, I've known many guys that have had to get that surgery twice. If you don't get it done and you kind of play with it, I mean, I fractured my fourth and my fifth. They just started cracking the bones in the foot because I didn't get it taken care of the first time. There is always that concern that the surgery doesn't correct it, although I'm sure that they will always err on the side of caution with the player as young as Deebo with as much potential that he has. But it's a devastating blow. Let's face it. You know, they were willing, in order to let Sanders go to New Orleans, they were counting on Deebo and Brandon Ayuk right there to kind of step in and pick up the slack. And so you're basically without your top two wide receivers from a year ago right now. Now, they've got depth and they've got other players there. But to your point, every surgery when it comes to this, especially a wide receiver that is as strong as Deebo is. I mean, he's a running back and a wide receiver body, and he breaks a lot of tackles. I mean, that surgery and really getting taken care of is just critical at this point.
Yeah, that's Brian Baldinger, who sustained two Jones fractures. And essentially, essentially, JD, what it looks like, and we're going to hear from more from Baldinger this segment, some of the things that he said. It seems to me the injury itself is one thing and recovery process is another. And if all things work out well, this is just going to be a blip, even if Deebo Samuel has to miss a couple games at the beginning of the year. But it's also an injury where you just never know because everyone is different.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that a couple of times, and I went back and tried to do a little bit of research on Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant did have a Jones fracture back in 2014. He had the fifth metatarsal on the outside of the foot, and I'm reading from this article from a few years back. Because there is limited blood flow to that part of the foot, it doesn't heal as easily as other types of breaks. Multiple NBA players have had this injury with varying results. Pau Gasol broke his in 2006, didn't have any problems since. Brook Lopez broke his in 2011, eventually needed a surgery to reshape his foot. Now, NBA players are different. Their body types are different. But if you remember, you know, Kevin Durant, you know, he wound up missing significant time because it didn't heal properly and created an issue down the line, which caused it to become more like, let's say, the Trent Taylor version. Now, Trent Taylor is different from that. He had an infection.
Right.
And a complicated. So there's different varying degrees. It could be not a problem, but it could, at least in the back of your mind, be something very serious. So I think if you're thinking of this from the 49ers organizationally, you got to almost be prepared for all possible options in this thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And by the way, a Jones fracture, it refers to a break between the fifth metatarsal of the foot and the base of the foot. I broke my fifth metatarsal once, JD. I'm not saying it's a Jones fracture because I don't know. I will say this. I was put in a cast for a couple months, 2 or 3 months. I can't remember exactly. I did re-break it. I did re-break it, actually, and then I just never got it. I just re-broke it with kind of a hairline after that. And then it ended up healing on its own. Deebo Samuel, a little more of a little better athlete than I was, with a little stronger physique. Nonetheless,
right.
JD, I broke my metatarsal too. Hey,
he's a competitor.
Thank you. I want to hear from Brian Baldinger, who we had on at 12:30. What we asked him, what does Deebo Samuel bring to the offense?
Well, I mean, look, I think they were really high in 2018 when they drafted Jalen Hurd from Baylor. He went on injured reserve last year, really had the redshirt season. But, I mean, I know who he is, and I've done Baylor games. I mean, he's an impressive, imposing, physical guy at 6'4", almost 230 pounds, and he can do a lot of the things that Deebo did, but he still has to do them. And so I don't know what he's going to be like, how quickly he can learn the offense. How quickly he can become a factor. Dante Pettis has been given a number of opportunities. We'll see, you know, just what he can do. Kendrick Bourne has been around. I mean, he's got guys there. Trent Taylor, like you mentioned, was there and contributed his rookie year and into 2018. But, you know, this is a team that many, many people believe have a great opportunity to get back to a Super Bowl and be the class of the NFC. But if you start the season without your two starting wide receivers that were, you know, within 10 points in the fourth quarter of winning a Super Bowl game, I mean, that kind of puts you behind the eight ball to start. And are they still, you know, the favorites at this point? I mean, it's if your passing game is going to take the kind of hits that they're just taking right now, I mean, it's going to be off to a real questionable start right now.
All right, that's Brian Baldinger. He joined us at 12:30. Of course, Baldy's breakdowns on Twitter. You can find that. He's also the 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. Just to update you on what's going on, 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel broke his foot Tuesday during a throwing session. He's having surgery today. It is a Jones fracture. Ian Rappaport broke the story from NFL Network, and he's projecting a 12 to 16 week recovery time, which puts the start of the season in jeopardy for Samuel. Samuel has already talked and sent out something on Twitter. Why don't you update listeners on what he said?
Yeah, two things from Deebo Samuel. One, via his Twitter, 10 weeks, I'm back, better than the Deebo you've seen before.
Deebo!
And then he also put on his IG story a message, we good, be back before the season starts, no panic, all God's work. So he, and again, 10 weeks from today, I mentioned this earlier, I'll mention it again, is August 27th, which would be 17 days before the 49ers season opener.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. How concerned are you? Seems like we're seeing both ends of the spectrum. Deebo Samuel, obviously, and some 49er fans saying, relax. If he's back early in the season, that's fine. Let's go out to Shane. Shane's in Newark, and Shane wants to talk about something that, let me tell you, we're going to end up talking about it for the next few months, no doubt about it. What's up, Shane?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
All right. Hey, I just wanted to say that the 49ers should not be calling Antonio Brown. No way, no how should they even consider it. He's a distraction in the locker room. That dude needs to get his mind right. I mean, didn't he just plead guilty to the assault charges on the truck delivery guy? Like, what, less than a month ago? He has, like, court-ordered therapy going on. I mean, he's not the guy you want to be calling right now. He's got to get his mind right first before football comes back in his life. That's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. You know, he's going to have to serve. He still has a lot of issues, too, with the NFL in terms of suspension. He's going to have to miss some games and serve some penalties almost certainly. By the way, one thing I want to bring up is Trent Taylor. All right, Trent Taylor had a Jones fracture last year, and he didn't play in any games for the 49ers. That wasn't solely because of the fracture. He also suffered an infection during the recovery process, and there were other complications that led to him missing the entire year. The Jones fracture in and of itself can be overcome, and there's a scenario clearly in which JD, he'll be back early in the season. But you never know. There could be complications. And also, it sure seems like the nature of this particular injury, as Baldy said, everyone's different, so you never really know.
No, but there is a timeline here, whether it's the early end, which is what Deebo Samuel has laid out, August 27th, 10 weeks from today, with still 2.5 weeks to go before the regular season begins. And let's say the 12 to 16 week time frame that Ian Rappaport mentioned in the clip we played earlier as he reported the story on the NFL Network. I mean, 12 weeks from today is the beginning of the NFL season on that Thursday night, September the 10th. If it does wind up with a setback and goes a little bit longer, we could be looking at maybe as many as 4 games. So I think anywhere between he's good to go with 2 weeks to spare to it runs right up against the opener, to maybe he has to miss a handful of games. That is the framework by which we're looking at this thing right now. And then we'll just, you know, as they say, got to let it all play out.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the names clearly that figure into this whole discussion is George Kittle, the 49ers tight end. He's got 1 year remaining on his deal. It's no secret that at least Kittle would love to sign a long-term deal before the season starts. It seems like the 49ers are certainly open to that. Does this impact that potential signing or not? You know, it's funny because we heard somebody on the text line say, if I'm George Kittle, I'm holding out right now, or obviously when the time comes. I don't know. And what I mean by that is, if I'm George Kittle and I was thinking about holding out, anyway, this doesn't change it. You know what I'm saying? I'm certainly not. If he was thinking of holding out, this isn't going to make him come back. I guess what I'm saying is, while it's important to George Kittle, I don't think it's going to impact whether or not he reports on time to training camp.
No. That situation is not that dire yet.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think it's a dire situation really until we reach next offseason. Now, if this was next offseason, I think we might be having a different conversation and there wasn't a deal done. But no, right. That's, if anything, George Kittle's going to fully understand the fact that his presence is going to be needed even more so in the potential absence of Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, and the one thing we've heard about is, well, Kittle, man, he's got, now he can break the bank, or now he should hold out, or now he's got leverage. I mean, the guy's going to be the highest paid tight end in football no matter what. There's talk that he's going to shatter the tight end market. I mean, he may take a salary that was, the highest salary tight end is 10.5 to 11. He may make 15. So George Kittle's got leverage with or without Deebo Samuel. But without Deebo Samuel, his role on this team, man, I didn't know if it could get any bigger. But it might have to get bigger if Deebo Samuel's going to miss a few games. Let's head out to Zach. Zach's in Oakland, wants to talk about the 49ers wide receiver group as a whole. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of
yes,
all, just
sir.
Real quick, because you guys were talking about Kittle. If I'm Kittle, I'm asking for top 10 wide receiver money, and if I'm the 9th, I'm paying it, no doubt. He's
okay.
Going to be one of the surest things in football. He does everything for your team. He's an unquestioned leader. I mean, there aren't very many guys like that. You have to pay them. But about the wide receiver group, I just felt like at the end of the year, I feel like pretty common knowledge that the weakest position group on the Niners was their wide receiver group. And they go into the draft and they draft a wide receiver in the first round. And I still think the Niners wide receiver group is the weakest position group on their team. So it definitely is concerning that Samuel's hurt, because the biggest question mark for them, I think, outside of Jimmy G going into the year, was the receivers, and it's a bigger question now than maybe at the end of last year.
I think that's a fair statement, JD. Deebo Samuel is being counted on.
Look, the rat on the table is the fact that the 49ers had basically become, they had three wide receivers by the end of the year that they trusted. That's probably the best way to put it. At the end of the year, you had George Kittle, who was the tight end, but you had Kyle Shanahan had three wide receivers he trusted: Emmanuel Sanders, Deebo Samuel, and Kendrick Bourne. Beyond that, everyone else had basically fallen out of favor. So now you're taking potentially two of those guys away and starting the season without either one of them. It's no knock on Kendrick Bourne. I think Kendrick Bourne's going to have a nice year. But Kendrick Bourne goes from being your three to being your one. You know, Brandon Ayuk goes from being a first-round pick that you believe can come in and make an impact to a first-round pick that has to come out and make an impact and has to, put his imprint on the team early on. You know, Jalen Hurd and Trent Taylor go from, well, it'd be nice to get those guys back, and boy, they could contribute to, damn, they better contribute too, because even if Kendrick Bourne and Brandon Ayuk are pretty good, you still don't have a third guy in the mix. So one of them, or Dante Pettis, would have to step up. So there's a ladder here. You take one away and it impacts everybody else. You take two away and you start to wonder how the thing would function at all, really, until you get, Deebo in the mix, unless you're adding from the outside.
Yeah, and let's also, be honest. If, you're looking at this young receiving core, there's a lot of guys you hope step up, but what I always believe, although you could argue against it, is if you have a lot of things that you hope are going right, or you hope will go right, most of the time not all of it goes right. And if you're just joining us, 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel, he's undergoing surgery today for a broken foot. Sustained that injury on Tuesday in Tennessee during a throwing session. Depending on who you're listening to, if you're listening to Deebo Samuel, he's saying he'll be back by the start of the season. Ian Rapoport, who broke the story, says it's a 12 to 16 week recovery process, which puts the start of the season in a little jeopardy for Deebo Samuel. What about this aspect of it, JD, in terms of the chemistry that was starting to be built between Garoppolo and Deebo Samuel? Because when I think of a rookie's trajectory, I think Deebo Samuel had the perfect rookie trajectory. Just started out with a small role, and by the end of the year, you realized, you know what? This guy can be our starting wide receiver for 10 years. Now, whether he's a one or a two, we'll see. But even if he's not a one, this guy can be a cornerstone of a football team, I would think.
Yeah,
even though he's only played 1 year.
No, totally. I think that's the other element to this, which is not just that you were counting on Deebo Samuel to be what he was last year. If you're the 49ers, you were counting on Deebo Samuel to make a leap, to be a better player, maybe even 150% of the player he was last year, you know, to be one of the ways that you can be a better football team, even though you're going to be a different football team. So I think they're kind of counting on more from him than, you know, they would have at the end of last season, given everybody else that was on the roster.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it, JD. I think full on they expected, and I'll bet you they still expect Deebo Samuel to be their leading pass catcher this upcoming season. Let's head out to Mike in Concord. Mike in Concord wants to talk about George Kittle and how this may affect him. What's up, Mike?
Bias on this decision, because I still remember way back when Kittle played the Vikings and he had a drop catch, and I commented on his Instagram and he blocked me. But
who
I
did?
Feel like he's been like,
oh, Kittle, okay,
bye bye.
He's been really like, he's been real pro 49ers. He's been doing everything right, and it's been an attempt to probably get the biggest contract. And I agree, he should get a big tight end contract, but trying to make a big deal and want wide receiver money, it just rubs me the wrong way. We have a great team, and you're going to get paid great. But if you want to try to make records and get wide receiver money, I just don't think it's the best thing for our team. And if we traded Buckner, man, just give us what you got for Kittle. I mean, if he's going to give us a hard time about his contract.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. We're not there. And you know what? Of the things, if I were a 49er fan, JD, the things I would worry about in terms of least important would be if Kittle's going to resign or not. To me, that George feels like Kittle. It's going to happen. It's going to happen either now or a year from now or 14 months from now. But I'm not taking any long shot bet even that George Kittle won't be a 49er next season.
Yeah, because this thing isn't the slightest bit contentious at this point.
Correct.
It really isn't. Between him and the team. And again, we're at a point where this is the first, you know, real opportunity to even discuss the possibility of him getting a contract extension. It's not like it even technically has to get done this offseason.
Correct. Yeah. Well, yeah, well said. 888-957-9570. We're talking about the 49ers and wide receiver Deebo Samuel. He's going to be banged up for a little bit. Broke his foot Tuesday, surgery today. Deebo Samuel says, I'll be out 10 weeks, and I'll be back by the start of the season. Ian Rapoport, who broke the story from NFL Network, says it could be more like 12 to 16 weeks, which would put the first couple games in doubt for Samuel. 888-957-9570. What's your concern level on this one, 49er fans? Deebo Samuel was certainly penciled in to be the number one receiver for the 49ers. That doesn't go away, but I want to know how worried you are. And that's all sponsored. It is all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options. Along with free pickup and delivery, Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, all righty. It turned out to be an eventful day today with Guru and Bonte sitting it out, deservedly so. These guys work hard. Both of them deserve the day off.
And I was day drinking.
You know, it's one of those things where Guru always likes to say when somebody's out, oh, you know, like Guru's out today. So we were saying, oh, man, it takes a few people to replace Guru, you know, because we're having different guests on. And I'm thinking to myself, huh, today we're without two guys. You know what? We only need one guy to replace Bonte and Guru, and that's John Dickinson.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And
damn.
Happy to have JD.
Appreciate
and,
that.
No doubt. If you're just joining us, I'll say what I've been saying for the last 90 minutes. Deebo Samuel, San Francisco 49er wide receiver, broken foot. He suffered it on Tuesday. He's having surgery today. And Ian Rapoport reporting that this could be 12 to 16 weeks of rehab and recovery. Puts the start of the 49er season in jeopardy for Samuel. It happened during a throwing session in Tennessee. And JD, it's a piece of kind of news out of the blue, but, you know, depending on how it goes, it could be significant or it could be something that only ends up a footnote at the end of the season for the 49ers.
Exactly. You just don't know at this point, but you have to be prepared for every possible outcome in this thing, including, you know, Deebo Samuel himself, who has tweeted and put out on Instagram that he thinks he's going to be back within 10 weeks, which would still give, you know, 2.5 weeks of leeway leading up to the beginning of the regular season. There's a 12-week window between today and week one of the regular season, as it's currently scheduled for September the 13th at Levi's Stadium. You know, who knows how that's going to change. And then sort of the worst case scenario that's on the table for now, barring any kind of a setback, we'd still be talking about him missing maybe 3 or 4 games tops. So when you add all that up, look, it's not a dire situation, but if you're John Lynch and you're Kyle Shanahan, or if you prefer to say Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch,
exactly.
and flip the two, which I know you're prone to do. You gotta have options. You gotta be thinking about, okay, if he comes back, we're gonna treat it one way. If he doesn't come back, we're gonna have to treat it another way. All of those things have to be in your mind, you know, in a year that's gonna be unprecedented for a number of other reasons in NFL history.
Yeah, I'd like to remind people that if you missed anything on today's show, and there was plenty. You can always listen again. We had Matt Barnes, former Golden State Warrior, NBA champion. He was on earlier today at 11 o'clock talking a lot about the NBA's plan to restart. We got into some social justice issues. We talked about the bubble. We also had Brian Baldinger. He was on at 12:30. He gave us some great insight on Deebo Samuel's injury. He suffered 2 Jones fractures, and he talks about how everyone is different. So if you miss those and you're just joining us, it's very, very easy to hear those interviews at your convenience. All you have to do is download the radio.com app, search 95.7 The Game, add it to your favorites, and you don't have to miss any part of the show, whether you're at home, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work. And like I said, if you use the rewind feature, you can catch any moments that you may have missed from the previous 24 hours. Again, Matt Barnes, a terrific interview earlier at 11 a.m., and Brian Baldinger joined us at 12:30 talking Deebo Samuel. You can also simply tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, or Hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Debo Samuel got hurt on Tuesday in a session, a throwing session with teammates. Obviously, some 49er players had gotten together trying to stay in shape, and I guess this is sometimes what happens, and we'll find out basically how long he'll be out for, if any period of time. Let me just throw this out to you, JD. Not that it's the time for this, because I think we talked about it earlier. And, you know, at what point do you start thinking about getting somebody else in here, as they say? I don't think we're there yet, but I just want to throw some names at you of wide receivers who are available right now. They're free agents. And this is from our guy Adam Kaplan, another radio.com NFL insider. And you just tell me what you think. Paul Richardson, Demaryius Thomas, Taylor Gabriel, Chris Hogan, Jaron Brown, Jermaine Kearse, Jarius Wright, Chester Rogers, Justin Hardy. Anybody doing anything for you there?
Did you mention Taylor Gabriel? Was he
That's
in that
correct.
List?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
he was.
Sir.
I had a little clicked out there at the beginning. He would be the one. He would be the one for me, just given the past history with Kyle Shanahan. If you were going to throw somebody else into the mix, but
see,
again, there's not a lot of real sexy options there, though.
Right. This is where great minds think alike, and I got to give you guys credit. When Kyle, who's brilliant, our producer, put up the names of Kaplan's free agents, he ran down the list, and Kyle said, you know, the only guy I'd be interested there would be Taylor Gabriel.
Kyle's brilliant.
Shanahan coached Taylor Gabriel back in Atlanta, and Gabriel had some production under Kyle Shanahan there. So we're just throwing those out right now. But, it's early. I don't think there's any sense of urgency, but is it concerning? Absolutely. And then I think, JD, the next part of this, when you're talking about somebody who's injured, his name's already come up a few times, and I've heard my sources are telling me that his name is trending on Twitter, Antonio Brown. Brian Baldinger said, you know what, I'll make that call if I'm the San Francisco 49ers. You want no part of it. I'm not there yet with Antonio Brown, even to make the call. We don't have to do that yet.
Yeah, I got no interest in even really thinking about making the call on Antonio Brown. And look, I would be more open to it if he hadn't repeatedly, basically, you know, kind of faked the league into signing him, you know, faked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he winds up with the Raiders and it's like, okay, I want to be with the Raiders. And then he didn't want to be with the Raiders. Okay, now I really do want to come back and play. Now I'm not going to come back and play. I'm apologize. He wanted to obviously go to New England. He goes to New England. And then, you know, he's got an issue in New England. And then he's apologizing. He's furious. And then he's apologizing. And then he's a changed man. And then he's, it just seems like he's just trying to get somebody to take the bait. And then as soon as he comes in, he's just, it's going to turn into a complete sideshow. So I can't trust him.
Antonio yeah. Brown's not in the building today.
Oh, that was a classic soundbite from Mike Mack. I don't think the San Francisco 49ers are there. You know, what's interesting though is, you know, his name came up before last season. JD, and this isn't, I don't want to turn this about, I don't want to make this into Antonio Brown, but I want to make it more into the 49ers and just get your feeling on this. When Antonio Brown's name came up last year, you know, the 49ers were coming off a terrible season. And my thought was at that time, you cannot bring Antonio Brown onto this team, a young team trying to establish itself. That said, they're now a 13-3 team coming off a Super Bowl appearance. Are they more equipped, would you say, to take on an Antonio Brown, let's say, than last year?
Yeah, I think you're more equipped when you become an established winner. So I think the 49ers are on the precipice of being there, right? It's still only 1 year, though. But I would feel more comfortable examining a player that has a troubled history when you're already a good team with an established culture, as opposed to a bad team that's in essence trying to go from bad to good. If you're a bad team and you're trying to become a good one, stay away at all costs. And I think that's the way the 49ers have played this thing to this point. Stay away at all costs. And if there is a problem, you weed that problem out immediately, or you give a second chance like they did with Reuben Foster, and then there's another chance and he's got to go. Right. You have to just move forward. So I think they've handled it that way. I think Kyle and John, Shanahan and Lynch, I think they both tend to lean, don't want any kind of semblance of a troublemaker around or somebody that's going to upset what's going on internally in the culture, basically. I think they lean that way to begin with.
Right.
So they would take a harder look before they would bring somebody in. But there's under no circumstances a situation where you should do it, in my mind, when you're a bad team. You can be a little more open-minded once you become an established good team. Are the 49ers there yet? I think you could make a case that they are. I mean, what do you think of that? I mean, you could also make a case that they need to have one more, winning season, even if it's not a Super Bowl season, a winning season, just to make it two in a row on the positive side of the ledger.
Yeah, I don't see Shanahan and Lynch as Antonio Brown guys. I really don't. I also wonder, and to me it works both ways, about Antonio Brown being a fit with the 49ers. On the one hand, you would say, oh, my God, what a fit. A number one receiver, that's what they need. Another weapon for Garoppolo. Okay. But I actually look at it from the other standpoint, and that is, look, the 49ers are a running football team. That's still where they hang their hat, and I still think that's where they want to hang their hat. Secondly, they have their number one receiver. He just happens to be a tight end, George Kittle. And so I don't see Antonio Brown as a player who comes in here and gets everything he wants, and he feels like a player who needs to be featured and needs to be relied upon for him to keep his interest. And I just don't think he's the guy. Now, again, on the other hand, it could be, man, 49ers are one Antonio Brown away from winning a Super Bowl last year. Well, that might be fair too, but they look, Lynch and Shanahan are character guys. They've made that clear, and Antonio Brown wouldn't fit that bill. It's just that's a fact, is what I'm saying.
No, I'm with you 100% on that, Steiny. I he's not their style of guy. And look, here's the other thing. You make a move like that when you're a player away, and you're maybe a little bit desperate, right? And I just don't feel like the 49ers are. I don't feel like the 49ers are in that position where they're desperate enough to say they have to go do something, so you're going to risk taking on somebody that's had the issues that he's had.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Deebo Samuel, if you're just joining us, suffered a broken foot on Tuesday during a throwing session in Tennessee. Ian Rapoport from NFL Network is the person who broke that news. He will be on today with DRK, Damon Ratto, and Kolsky at 4:15. 4:15, Ian Rapoport. He broke the story about Deebo Samuel breaking his foot in Tennessee earlier this week. According to Rapoport, he thinks that this is a 12 to 16 week recovery process, which would make it right there in the gray area whether Deebo Samuel would be ready for the start of the season or not. I'm also getting a lot of texts, JD, that say, slow down. There may not even be a start of the season at the time it was scheduled to be started. I'm not so sure. It's funny, JD, if I had a bet on the NFL starting on time or not, that's one I would bet that they would.
Yeah.
But if you'd ask me to bet on baseball or basketball completing these seasons, I'm less likely to see that as happening.
I think all three are going to happen.
Do you really?
Look at me, Johnny Optimism.
Yeah.
I think all three are going to happen. I'm with you though. I think, it's so funny. You look at, I think Major League Baseball, if they can hammer out an agreement here in the next few days, they're going to be playing before the NBA. But the irony in the NBA situation, Steiny, is the fact that NFL training camp is going to probably start before the NBA is playing games. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I didn't even think about that. That's going to be strange. We're going to have three sports going on at once. At some point in all this, and we're all just going to have to play it by ear and take it on the fly and let it play out. All right. Ian Rappaport, once again, 4:15 with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Ian Rappaport breaking the story about Debo Samuel breaking his foot in Tennessee. So a bit of bad news for the San Francisco 49ers. And it's kind of weird, JD, to be honest with you, talking about a sports injury for 90 minutes. Not that we haven't done something like that in the past, but we haven't done anything like that lately, where we've actually seen sports news that impacts a team on the field. So, crazy day if you're a 49er fan too.
Yeah, it really is, and it's a bad thing. It's a negative outcome for the 49ers, at least for the time being. That
right.
Unfortunately comes out of something that was supposed to be so positive. And what I mean by that is you had this group of players that picked the centralized location to all get together, receivers, and try and work, on their game and work with Jimmy Garoppolo and get some things accomplished because there hasn't been able to be any in-person off-season program. And, I saw those videos, flying around a couple of days ago, and I was thinking, wow, this team's different in terms of their chemistry and their belief in each other and wanting to work and try and get over the hump after not, quite being able to finish the deal
right
in Miami back in February. And one of the thoughts I had today was, wow, that's too bad. That's a negative outcome born out of, the best of consequences, which, sometimes that happens in life, but, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And you talk about this team being different. One of the things, and I'm interested to hear what you think about this, because if there's one thing that bothers me more than anything, it's when somebody says a team has a great culture or they have incredible chemistry. But I do think the 49ers had very good chemistry last year. I do think sometimes there are teams, you watch them play over the course of the season, and it comes through. It might not be able to be easily identified or one moment, but you can just tell. Certainly the Warriors had that during certain years in the past five. But I really do think the Niners, their chemistry and their locker room is a real part of who they are. You were at every 49er home game and a couple of the road games. So is that an overstatement?
No, it's not. It's different. It's something that you couldn't predict because, they weren't a good team the previous 2 years, although they did have some, semblance of a camaraderie, but a lot of the players change, obviously, as they get better. But no, they definitely early on showed signs of something special in terms of just how they work, how they operate, how they care for each other, how connected they are. And it's, I wouldn't put it on the same level as maybe what the Warriors were able to develop, but I think it's in the same, it's not, maybe not on the same level yet because it's still starting out, but I think it's of the same ilk. It's from a similar DNA.
Yeah. I think there's something there, and it's something that I don't just give that, I just don't give it credence unless I can kind of see it for myself, and I have at least the Niners.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the kind of thing that I think as you analyze a season as the 49ers prepare to play 2020, you know, where you maybe give them a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt in terms of they will be able to rebound, and maybe they won't have the hangover that other teams have had after losing a Super Bowl, especially losing a Super Bowl in kind of heartbreaking fashion. I think the teams that have that connect, you know, that are connected like that, I think they're more apt to be the teams that, you know, buck the trend of, you know, the Rams made it and then they were done, and the Bears were good for a year and then they were, you know, mediocre, and, you know, some of these other teams that you know, the Falcons, who got there and blew the big lead and haven't been close to the same since in 2016 and 17. So I think that that chemistry leads you to give a team more of a benefit of the doubt that they can overcome something that historically a lot of teams can't overcome.
JD, things went very quickly today. Love having you in here. Thanks for everything. That's going to do it for JD and Matt Steinmetz. Thanks to Matt Barnes. Thanks to Brian Baldinger. DRK next with Ian Rappaport at 4:15. Thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.